Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com for everybody that might be unfamiliar with my voice, because you're new, because we have all these new subscribers that listen in all the time. My name, again, is Peter Mingles. We run Building Fortunes Radio. I started, I bought the domain name in 2012, and we've been running the radio show ever since. On Saturday nights, which is tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, we do a radio show with Scott Johnson. Actually, this is Scott Johnson's radio show. And I was thinking about maybe moving the radio show around a little bit, maybe doing a little bit earlier, because we're going to have daylight savings time. It's going to be darker earlier, at least on the clock. So we decided, no, let's keep it at 8:30. So for those people listening in, I've sometimes mentioned that we might start doing this at 8 o'clock at daylight savings time, but we'll keep it at 8:30. So at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central Time is when we do the Scott Johnson radio show. And the way this whole thing got started is I did a radio show with an MLM critic. His name is Roger Van Vlissingen. And Roger's a good guy, really smart. He's one of these anti-MLM critics that are actually smart. Most of the anti-MLM critics, or the anti-MLM YouTubers, are pretty dumb. Matter of fact, they're really dumb most of the time. I like to say that specifically because, like, they're really dumb. So Roger, on the other hand, is a really smart guy, academic. He was writing for Seeking Alpha, which is seekingalpha.com, which studies publicly traded companies. One of those publicly traded companies he was writing about was Herbalife. Well, to keep a story short, I said to Scott Johnson, hey, Scott, after he called me up, we said, let's do some radio shows. Scott said, because, and I'm kind of messing up my little story here for a second as I was watching my granddaughter real quick. But Scott had called me first, and he said, hey, you know, there's something that you guys are missing. And I said, what's that, Scott? He said, well, Roger didn't say anything really about the tool scam associated with MLM. And Roger said a lot of things about Herbalife, and he said a lot of things about MLM, but Scott Johnson was right. He didn't mention anything about tools. And I wasn't sure if what I was thinking is what Scott was thinking. So I was kind of going through my background in MLM, and I remember that Amway had a lot of books, tapes, and functions. It was a whole systems thing. And I was wondering if that was what he was referencing. And Scott basically said, when I asked him, you know, do you have a website? He said, sure do. It's called stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. That's when I realized that Scott was talking about the same thing that I was thinking about. Sorry about that. I got to shut off these phone calls. Let me do that. I forgot. One second. Sorry about the interruption. So I said to Scott, you know, let's do some radio shows on the tools stuff. And I did not realize at that time that Scott knew about and was very active in, you know, talking about the MLM industry. So we started to do this radio show way back towards the August, I think it was, 2015. It was after that Labor Day, and I believe it was 2015. So if you do the math, we've been doing it for a while. And we talk about a lot of different things as a result of that. We've spoken about, of course, the tool scam. We've spoken about lots of things related to, you know, companies that were shut down from the FTC or the SEC. We've spoken a lot about stuff that happens in the MLM community or the anti-MLM community. We've done radio shows with guest hosts. We've had distributors, attorneys. We've had people that write. We've had people that criticize. We have a lot of different radio shows, and if you listen to enough of them, you'll find that you'll learn a lot about this industry, and you won't be surprised if anything happens to you in this industry. So in our way of doing things, we're kind of educating people of some of the scams that are out there, the scammers, or the things you need to take a look at relative to building a home-based business. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of topics today, and because of the particular environment that some of the subjects that we're going to reference a little bit as we go through the regular topics that Scott wants to go through as well, we'll see that there's plenty of room for rumors, innuendos, plenty of things for explanations, fodder, FUD, a whole bunch of other things relative to what's going on. And so it's kind of like one of those weird, if you will, weeks in MLM as we go through people that run different websites, people that host different blogs, people that are YouTubers, and people that I am proud to say shoot themselves in the foot, completely construct their own demise, and probably will be homeless soon, which will be announced, I think, in December or sometime in November on his YouTube channel. So having said that, Scott Johnson, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having me. And then, yeah, this is going to be a good show. You know, we haven't really finished the Niora lawsuit, the decision, but let's take a break for a week because there's plenty more to talk about with that decision with Niora, which, I mean, the FTC completely blew it. It's just amazing how totally they blew it. You know, it was just incredible. But anyway, you're right. You started your show. This is an interesting coincidence because we didn't know each other until Labor Day of 2015, but you started this program, you know, your radio podcast program in late 2012 or early 2013, which is right around the same time that Bill Ackman started his campaign against Herbalife. And up to that point, I had been focused largely on Amway for a couple reasons. Number one, there was plenty going on with Amway, and I really didn't have the time or, you know, inclination to branch out into other MLMs. But then also, I don't like to talk about stuff I don't know about. You know, if I'm not familiar with it, I'd rather not comment on it. And so I focused on Amway. Well, when Bill Ackman came out and he started to produce all this evidence of what was going on with Herbalife, I was thinking, man, that's so similar to Amway. It's incredible. And then I started checking out other MLMs and, you know, things that were going on with them. And I think Behind MLM was out by then. So there was more and more information available to learn about other MLMs as well. And also things were slowing down with Amway. And so by the time we got to know each other in 2015, for about the previous 3 years, I had been looking at other MLMs, and really it was remarkable the similarities between other MLMs and Amway. It was, you know, just almost mind-boggling similar. And so it was just a fortunate timing. I think if we had, you know, met in 2012, it would have been Amway and a couple shows, and that would have been it. But since both of us are familiar with a lot of different MLMs, by the time we did meet in 2015, that's why I think this show has lasted for so long, because there's such a, you know, it's just a deep subject. There's always something going on in MLM land. And we've done some shows that were not particularly MLM, like child sex trafficking, which interestingly has a lot of similarities to MLM. We've talked about that during those shows. But getting back to the tool scam, that's something that is, I wouldn't say unique to Amway, but it's not done by a whole lot of MLMs. And I found out about it in 2005. I had been in Amway since January of 1993. And then I found out about the tool scam in 2005, and I thought, oh, these guys have been lying to me for a dozen years. And so that's when I started, you know, my research and putting together what is this thing that's where they're making most of their money from the tools. And that's led to today. It's three websites. It's my YouTube channel. It's the link to this radio show, my email, all of that stuff is on my Facebook page. So you can find it all on my Facebook page, and it's facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, ScottTexJohnson, all one word. And you can find all that information, including the fact that they make several times more from the tools than they do from the Amway business. And we're talking about the Amway upline here. The other 99% don't make any money. A lot of them don't even know that money is made from the tools. And so it's one of those things that if you don't know it, you don't know it. But once you know it, you go, geez, this whole business is different than what was being shown to me and talked about for all those years. And that has continued to this day. All of these, I call them kingpins. I also call them LCKs. That stands for lying, cowardly kingpin, because they lie about where they make most of their money. They're too cowardly to admit it. And they're like a mafia kingpin. You know, they run around making money illegitimately and legitimately, much like the mafia does, right? The mafia has fronts. They have different businesses to make them look legitimate, just like the Upline and Amway have the Amway business to look legitimate. Now, it's not, but at least it looks that way because there's products involved. But the tool scam, like you mentioned earlier, that's the meetings and the books and the recordings and the phone apps and the websites and the voicemail, all these things that they have where they make massive profit, 10 times or more in some cases. Generally, it's at least twice as much at the Emerald and above level, but it can be as much as 10 times or more for the real upper crust, the upper crust, if you will, in Amway. And so, you know, this is something that most people don't know before they get in, while they're in, or even after they get out. It's just not well known, even with the internet, which is making some inroads, just not enough. But that's the tool scam. And I wouldn't have an issue with it if they talked about it, as far as this is where most of my money comes from. But we know why they don't, because most people would just leave. And so they really can't talk about it. It's one of those things where they've sort of set their own trap, so to speak, and there's really not a good way to get out of it. They've, you know, dug a hole, and there's just no way out at this point. At this point, I think the only two things that could happen is either it becomes very widely known, in which case the business would crater, or the government starts doing their job, and they would crater the business. So I'm for working from all angles, right? I don't count on just one particular point of view or activity. I think it's all of the above. We don't know which one is going to get there first, so just keep pushing from all directions is kind of how I look at it. But that's what makes it a scam. It isn't the money they make. It's the fact that they don't talk about it, and they pretend that their success comes from Amway, and most of it actually comes from the tool scam. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, and then by the way, problem number one is RICO fraud, in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but I think it's RICO fraud. It's at least business fraud, because when you leave out the major source of your income and you lie by omission, which, by the way, I've been using that term for several years. There's an anti-MLM hunt out there that says that I stole it from him because he mentioned it like a week or two ago. And I've been using it for several years. But like you say, they're always stupid. It's just amazing how stupid they are, those anti-MLM huns. But anyway, that's number one. Number two is the lack of retail sales. And this is key because the lack of retail sales is what determines that the MLM is an illegal pyramid versus a legitimate MLM. And unfortunately, there's no law that defines the minimum, but the settlements that VEMA and Herbalife did with the FTC back in 2016 indicate that the minimum is about 50-50. In other words, if every household sold as much to customers as they consumed in their own household, you would have a legitimate MLM because that would be half of the volume going to customers. And you can always exceed that, right? You can have twice as much being consumed by customers versus your own household income. In fact, if you can sell to your household consumption, then you ought to be able to sell twice as much or three times as much. You know, the 50% is just, it's just the start. It's not necessarily your goal. But what you're demonstrating there is that there's free market demand for the products, because distributors cannot be free market demand. They're being told, this is my one-line MLM promotion. It's if you work hard enough and long enough, you'll get filthy rich. And so distributors have that in their mind when they're buying the products because they're being told by their upline, like I was told by my upline, you know, you need to do what I did to get to where I am. And so that included buying all the tools and buying all the products. And that's sort of the pattern that's put in front of people as far as how to succeed. And so obviously that's not free market demand. That's, you know, only customers can provide free market demand, because only customers, and the definition of a customer is someone who's not part of the MLM compensation plan. Distributors, therefore, cannot be customers. They're what's called internal consumption versus external sales, and customers are sales. Distributors are just internal consumption. I think it's a good thing to have internal consumption. You want to be familiar with your products. You want to be able to promote them to, you know, whether it's a new distributor or a customer. So it makes sense for the distributors to buy the products, but if and only if they also have those retail sales. And that's what's lacking in every MLM I've ever seen. Some of the insurance MLMs appear to be more focused on retail sales, but I haven't seen any solid figures on that. So, you know, the jury's still out. We have heard of some individuals that claim to have very high retail sales, like $100,000, $200,000 a year, which would easily be 50%. I just don't know if that's typical. You know, you can't look at a unicorn, as they say, and say, okay, now everything's fine. You have to see across the whole business whether that sort of volume is going on. And I'm not talking about the $100,000 to $200,000 a year. I'm talking about you have at least as many sales as you are consuming. You know, it doesn't matter if it's toothpaste or life insurance, as long as it's as much or more than you're consuming in your own household, then you have a legitimate MLM. Unfortunately, I don't think any MLMs do that. Again, with the possible exception of the insurance MLMs, I just haven't seen that. And I'm open to it, by the way. I'm open-minded. If an MLM wants to present information that's auditable and, you know, you can check its accuracy and so forth, then, you know, everything would be great. We could talk about an MLM that is legitimate. And any MLM can contact me at my email that I just listed on my Facebook page. So anyway, I'll stop there. And let you make any more comments, and then we can get into what's been going on this past week.
Nope, we're all good. Let's get started.
All right, so we've been talking about this for a while, because I think it was about a month ago, a fellow by the name of Tim Foley passed away. And Tim was well known before he got into Amway, because he was a member of the 1972 Miami Dolphins, which up until that point and to this day, and by the way, this season, it's already been ruined or preserved, if you will, because every single NFL team has now lost at least one game. But in 1972, the Miami Dolphins won every single game up to and through the Super Bowl. No one else has ever done that. And it's really quite a feat. And if you go back and look at their season, they didn't really dominate. They had a lot of close games. They weren't superstars. In fact, their defense was nicknamed the No Name Defense. They just didn't have, you know, the big superstar talent, but they had a lot of good players who played consistently, and they were well coached, you know, by one of the best coaches ever. And so it was just an incredible season, and it hasn't been duplicated every year. I know that the surviving Miami Dolphins, you know, pop a bottle of champagne and, you know, have a sip or two of champagne to celebrate that they're still the only team that is undefeated in the NFL. So Tim was on that team, and then after he stopped playing professional football, he got into some either racquetball courts or some kind of workout facilities or something, or maybe it was, I don't remember, racquetball. Anyway, it didn't go real well. So somebody approached him about Amway, and he joined. And, you know, he was a pretty vivacious guy, I guess you could say. You know, a lot of personality. And he made it big. He had a huge, huge organization. A lot of it was in Central and South America, as well as the United States. But he was, I think, a crown ambassador. I think it was the highest level you could get. And also, several years ago, I think it was in the, I want to say early 2000s, or maybe the mid to late 2000s, Amway started this program called accreditation. And so they were getting a lot of heat about the tool scams, and they decided, well, we're going to have an accreditation program to show that these are good tool scam companies. Now, I should point out that the cost of the tools was not addressed at all, and therefore the profit is still there. The only thing that Amway did was they wanted to make sure that the content in the tools did not go over the top. And so they tightened up a little bit, I wouldn't say a lot, but a little bit on the claims that were being made, and each tool scam company would go to Amway and say, okay, we want to be accredited. Amway would look at their tools and say, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, whatever. But anyway, Tim Foley's tool scam company was called Efinity. And I think it's still around, even though he's not. He died, like I said, about a month ago. But they were the very first accredited tool scam company. So they were the, you know, number one as far as that goes. And there's been several others since that time. They even got into a later version called A+, like Accreditation Plus, or, you know, like getting an A+ in school, right? And I don't know. I don't recall the differences between the original accreditation and the A+, but anyway, it was all window dressing because they never addressed the prices of the tools, and that's what is causing the tools to be a tool scam, is the prices and the lack of being open about how much profit is being made. Now, interestingly, I don't know Tim Foley personally, and I was not a Miami Dolphins fan, even though I lived in Florida back then. I was a Johnny Unitas fan and therefore a Baltimore Colts fan. And actually, Miami was one of our nemesis as far as the Colts and the Dolphins. But anyway, years later, when I joined Amway, my brother, who lives in South Florida, I contacted him not too long after I joined Amway, and I said, hey, this is, you know, a great thing and blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, I'm already in, and he happened to be in Tim Foley's downline, and so there was nowhere to go with that, right? He basically said, you know, I'll see you on the beaches of the world, or I'll see you at Diamond Club, or whatever it was. And so it wasn't like we, you know, don't like each other. You know, we still get along and everything. But there was no business prospect there because he was in a different line of sponsorship. He had no inclination to change, you know, to be in my downline. And so that was that. But anyway, that's my Tim Foley story. To me, he's just another tool scam artist, even with all that background, you know, playing football and, you know, having his own crown ambassadorship and all that. To me, the higher the pin you get, Peter, it just means you scam more people. That's all it means. That's the label that I put on it. And so to me, it's nothing to be proud of. In fact, you should be ashamed of it. But, you know, either through ignorance or they just don't care. You know, they just don't have a soul. It's something that they just don't bother being bothered about. So it's, you know, it's kind of crazy to me, especially after spending so much, you know, time through the years and effort in investigating these creeps, that it's still going on and the FTC still hasn't done anything about the tools. They've talked about taking a little bit closer look at the overhead that it takes when you're a downline, not just the gross profit, but the net profit. So they're looking at one end of the telescope a little bit, but not the other. And the other is really important. To me, it's just as important, if not more, than the fact that you're losing thousands of dollars a year when these people are making millions of dollars a year and they are letting on airs that it's coming from Amway, and it's not. Mm-hmm. It's coming from the tool scam. In fact, it's really supporting their ability to be at the pin level that they're at as far as lifestyle. You know, when you get an Amway pin, you can wear it for the rest of your career, even if you fall back however many levels. But it's that tool scam money that allows them to keep up the mirage that they are still qualified at that pin and they have the lifestyle of that pin. But again, it's all from the tools. And so, you know, it just makes it that much worse as far as the situation. But anyway, that's my Tim Foley story. I'll let you make any other comments and then we can move on.
And I don't remember much about Tim Foley because it's been a long time ago since I thought about his name, but I'm almost positive that when I was in Amway in Illinois, he was the celebrity, if you will, that everybody kind of looked up to. So he was like the top echelon of the celebrities that would show up at the events. It was him and his wife and, you know, the sequin gowns and all that sort of stuff on recognition night. But he was the celebrity that was the, you know, the magnificent person that we were all supposed to worship. So that's all I know about him. And I don't remember a lot more about stuff and all that sort of stuff as well. But I do remember that he was pretty big up there and must have been making a boatload of money. Like, I mean, must have been. My assumption is that he was making a whole bunch of money, whether it was on tools or in Amway. I'm not sure what the ratio was, but he was the god, if you will, of the, like almost like if you had a pope, he was the pope of Amway in Illinois where I was. But anyway, so back to you.
Yeah,
where do you
want
to get started with this week?
Yeah, he was based in Florida, but yeah, he had groups all over the country, and like I said, Central and South America. He was, you know, very widespread, and he was a defensive back, by the way, as a position player, he was a decent player. He wasn't like, you know, of course, none of the Dolphins were superstars, but you know, I wouldn't say he stood out as a Miami Dolphin player. He was just one of the guys that played very well and was very consistent, you know, and they won. And it also, by the way, is unusual to have an upline that is a celebrity, you know, someone that is well-known. I mean, I went all the way up to Dexter Yeager, who was basically a nothing burger, and everyone in between really, there was nothing remarkable. A couple of my upline were doctors, but you know, they weren't well known or anything. They were just doctors. It is unusual. I'm trying to think, there was another football player, and unfortunately he played for the Baltimore Colts. My team growing up, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was very big in Amway too. I believe he's probably passed away by now. It's been so long ago. But there's not too many other, you know, famous people in Amway. Most of them are just regular people, so to speak, not well known before they joined Amway. Having that Tim Foley, I'm sure that was a big draw, you know, for anyone in his group could say, yeah, my upline is Tim Foley, you know, Miami Dolphin, defensive back, Super Bowl, undefeated season, all that stuff. You know, that does attract some excitement and all of those things. So anyway, it's been an interesting week in the MLM land. And our favorite website behind MLM.com had an interesting couple of stories that came out this week. Apparently, the proprietors of BehindMLM.com are being, sought by some unsavory characters, let's say, because he writes stories about everybody. You know, they might have very close ties to the mafia and you know, all kinds of illicit activities, you know, drug trafficking, human trafficking. So, you know, we're talking about the nastiest of the nastiest people. It makes Amway, you know, look like choir boys in comparison. So these are legitimately nasty people. You know, we talk about Amway and they are bad. They are scam artists. But generally they're not. And I have to say generally, because if you think about, I don't know if you ever read the book, what's it called? I'm trying to remember the name of it now. It's called something. Oh, it's Merchants of Deception. Have you ever read that book?
No.
Very good book. It's written by a guy by the name of Eric Scheibler, who is a former Emerald, and he had a really nasty experience with his upline, and they actually, you know, made physical threats towards him, and you know, he saw some pretty bad stuff as far as, you know, just physical threat type stuff, and he wrote a book about it, and you can find it online. You know, Merchants of Deception is the title, and it's Eric Scheibler. I won't try to spell his last name, but if you put Merchants of Deception and Eric and do a Google search, you can find the book online, and he goes into quite a bit of detail, and he talks about the tool scam. I don't know if he calls it a tool scam, but he does talk about, you know, the massive amount of money that's being made by the tools, and that kind of thing. Really, you know, really well-written book. It aligns very well with my personal experience, not that I ever got close to Emerald, but just the things that he said were very consistent. And all of the research I've done over the years and talking to a bunch of other former Amway people, you know, it fits perfectly as far as being believable. You know, when you read something like that and you don't have that personal experience, you don't really know if they're making it up. You don't know if they're, you know, dramatizing something or getting something wrong, or, you know, you just don't know if it's accurate. But when you do have that experience, it's like, yep, that fits right in. And so that makes the things that I did not experience directly more believable because of that consistency. So anyway, this behind MLM, there's two guys apparently, we believe that are behind this website, behind MLM.com. And they do a really good job of identifying not just MLM scams, but all kinds of, you know, Ponzi's and crypto and, you know, all that kind of genre, I guess you could call it. But they write about these really nasty people, and these people take them to court. They took them to court in Ukraine. Now, it wasn't like it was a trial. It was very much like the FTC used to do before they got voted down 9-0 by the Supreme Court with their 13B lack of due process that they were pulling for literally four decades. So what happened was one of these companies took it into, I think it was Ukraine. They went to Ukraine, went in front of a judge and complained to the judge. And again, it was one-sided. Behind MLM, the people were not involved at all. They just found out about the decision. And then the same characters, I think, also took their case to Germany. And I don't think Germany is a coincidence here, by the way. But it was the same thing. It was all one-sided. And, you know, the court found in favor of the bad guys, so to speak. And of course, you have to remember, in other countries, the freedom of speech isn't quite what it is in the United States. In the United States, it's pretty open. You know, you can say pretty much anything as long as it's true. That's really the dividing line between what you can and cannot say, with the exception of things like, you know, the old, you can't scream fire in a theater. You know, you can't cause violence just by getting people all worked up. That is not considered freedom of speech. Or making physical threats towards somebody, that's not freedom of speech. Now, you're free to do it, but you might get in trouble. So anyway, that's kind of what was going on in both Ukraine and Germany. And then, apparently, and I think it's the same company.
Yeah, can I stop you there? So it was GS Partners is the company, and Joseph Hype or Hasip or whatever, I forget his name because it's a German name, is the one that goes after him. But they were also known as Carrot Bars for a while as well. Well, I don't know if they went after behind MLM as much as they went after GoDaddy and Google. So what I think happened was this guy sued GoDaddy as far as the domain name registrar and Google, and I'm not really sure the Google connection. I'm not sure if they're hosted on a Google server or not, but that's what they did. They went after those companies, and those companies, specifically Google, blew them off, blew off the lawsuit. So there was a default judgment against Google that they wound up having to pay the legal fees on. So it wasn't like they sued behind MLM. They sued the domain name registrar and the hosting company to take down the negative content. And that's because both companies, Google and GoDaddy, did not fight it because it was in the Ukraine and in Germany. And I guess they're so big, it's cheaper for them just to pay it off or just to blow it off. Because that happened is what I think you're going to lead up to next. So I think that's what happened, and all this stuff happened without anybody knowing it. So it's ex parte, they call it, which means it's done one-sided, and not even behind MLM knew about it until it was over. So back to you, Scott. You can correct anything that I said.
No, you're exactly right. They did go after Google and GoDaddy, but one of the reasons they went after them was not only to take down the information, but they wanted to know who this guy was that was running the website, because, again, these are nasty people. They don't just want the information down. You know, these are the kind of people that knock off other people, and I think rightly so. The owners of behind MLM are concerned for their own physical safety, because these are people that do this. You know, they've done it before to other people. You know, I wouldn't say these particular people have done it. They may or may not have, but these are the type of people that do those types of things. And so that's, I think, what they're really after is his skin. And he realizes it. And he wrote a story on BehindMLM.com pretty much saying that. He says, hey, I'm scared. If you don't see new articles like almost every day like you normally do on his website, then expect the worst, you know, for me personally. I may not be breathing anymore. That's his message. So anyway, that's kind of – and if you want to read about this, there's a story. It's pinned right now at the top of his website. It's dated November 2nd, 2023, and the title is Behind MLM is Under Threat, in parentheses, GS Partners and the NYSC. And that's the third place that, interestingly, this company has gone, is the New York court system, you know, here in the United States. So now you're talking about freedom of speech here in the United States, not in other countries. But apparently the judge that looked at this the first time said, well, this guy's guilty in Ukraine, he's guilty in Germany, he must be guilty here. It looks like she didn't even dig into the details of what really happened. And so I think it's still just sort of a preliminary decision that he lost, behind MLM lost. But he's going to be, you know, going back into court and explaining what's going on, you know, as far as how those Ukrainian and German courts looked at things and how it was, as you said, ex parte, you know, just one-sided. I mean, how can you make a decision based on one side of an argument? It's just silly. That's why it was so silly for the FTC to be unconstitutionally taking down MLM companies. And I'm not defending the MLM companies. They were probably scams. But there's this thing called due process. It's the Fifth Amendment in the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. And no matter how much I dislike some company or some individual, I still believe in their due process of a fair trial and in a fair process, not just a one-sided thing where, you know, the FTC would go in and tell a judge, we found all this bad stuff and we want you to shut them down and we want you to take all their money so they can't even pay a lawyer to defend themselves. I mean, this happened for 40 years, literally. in the United States. And finally, the Supreme Court had a case that came to them, and they said, no, that's not what the law allows the FTC to do. And so they put a stop to it. They're just not going to allow that kind of behavior by the FTC. So, they did the right thing. The Supreme Court did. But anyway, he's going to be.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
I just want to comment on this, just for the people that need to see the evil genius behind this move. So this GS Partners guy winds up suing Google and GoDaddy and getting a judgment, meaning they didn't even show up, but they had to pay legal fees. And they basically, he's got to win, like without getting a win. But on the scoreboard, it looks like he won in the Ukraine. He took that illegal move or the unfounded move, this illegal win, let's call it, parlayed it to Germany and did it again, without behind MLM fighting it, without Google fighting it. Behind MLM didn't know about it, but Google and GoDaddy didn't fight it again. And the reality was is now this is two illegal wins that are not necessarily true. He never had his day in court. Then they bring it to the United States, and the United States says, well, wait a minute, since you lost twice, we're going to rule against you now. So it's really funny, the idea that, and in an ironic sense relative to the behind MLM guy, is he's being found guilty without ever being able to plead his case, and he could lose his domain name. He could lose his domain name because GoDaddy can decide for any reason at all that they just don't want to re-register the domain name or shut it down. And when GoDaddy shuts you down, it's not like you can go re-register behind MLM.com somewhere else. Your domain name is gone. I mean, it is no longer registerable. So behind MLM may come to an untimely demise based on two things that had happened to it that it never even realized, and then all of a sudden one thing that happened as a result of those two things and be out of business. And it's going to cost them some money, I'm sure. And the other part of your, your comments about organized crime, this is real. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but some organized crime money, or a lot of it, gets funneled through these MLMs. So you need a legitimate, quote-unquote, business to be able to launder or funnel your money through, and it is not uncommon to have, like, real serious organized crime funnel money through the organization. And I won't mention the name of the company, but I was working with a company owner one time, and he said to me, you know, some guys from Russia wanted to fly in and deposit $100 million into my account and, you know, do business with us. And he said, no, he didn't want to meet with them. And I said, are you kidding me? Like, like, you're either stoned or stupid. You shouldn't do it. But you probably need to put these guys down lightly or gently, because when organized crime knocks on your door and they want to do stuff like that at that level, you're on their radar, and bad things might happen to you. So the reality is that in OneCoin there were suspicions of organized crime, and a lot of these other companies there certainly may have been, and organized crime has been associated with this GS Partners guy one way or another with some pretty bad things. So it is not totally unfathomable that organized crime was behind doing some of the stuff that might be happening with behind MLM, which might mean that they might literally be concerned about their safety. Now, this is what I said. My comment a little bit earlier was about, like, real fear. And then we have the absolutely stupid MLM guy that we have a tendency of taunting, who thinks that there are people that are going after him, like these paid assassins, I think is a coined phrase. And he is now using this as an excuse to move and travel across the country doing anti-MLM videos. But I really think, Scott, it's just the idea that his, unfortunately, he's been sued by several companies, for him, unfortunately, fortunately for many people that are cheering those companies on. And because his donations are in the toilet, and any money that he's got probably is going to help pay for any kind of a lawyer that might give him any kind of attention, he's probably going to be homeless. So as a result of that, he's going to spin that into going across the country in different and various places, peeking in on MLM meetings so he could do his anti-MLM videos. But I think it's really just a way for somebody who's always stupid to really just try to, spin his homelessness. So we predicted it, Scott. I think it's coming to fruition. So besides being broke and poor and stupid, he might actually be homeless, living in his car, traveling across the country, maybe sleeping in the hotel where there might be a hotel meeting, trying to do these meetings and probably try to stay somewhat anonymous, meaning on the run where he can't be served for his next lawsuit. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, I think that's part of his strategy for sure. But hey, he's always stupid, so there you go. You know, there's nothing like consistency. Nothing like consistency.
To the next level. To the next level. Unbelievable.
So getting back to behind MLM again, the guy that runs this, his name is Oz, or that's his nickname that he chose for himself, is Oz. Now, he sort of pretends that his identity is not out there, but it is, and we assume it's the correct identity. We don't know that it's the right identity, but if you go to your favorite website, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek, businessforhome.org, there's a story here from March 2016, right? So this is probably just a few months after we started this show, and I don't know how much – I don't recall how much we used behindmlm.com way back then. We may have used it. I just don't remember. But anyway, there's a story here on businessforhome.org, and it's March 16, 2016, and the title is Klaus Bardenhagen and Michael Turton, Behind MLM-bloggers, ? And so these are apparently the two guys that run BehindMLM.com. It's on the website. It's, public information. There's another website I looked at called the MLMReport.com, and it also identifies these guys, these two guys, and it goes into quite a amount of detail. The other website has like their addresses. Now this is several years ago. They could have easily moved between now and then and now. But it's got a bunch of their social media, and some of those have been shut down, of course, but others I think are still up and running. But these guys live in Taiwan. They have for 20 or 30 years. The Klaus Bardenhagen guy is a journalist, which is very consistent with how he writes his articles, right? They're very organized. They're very sort of like reporter format, and thoroughly talking about the who, what, where, when, and why type questions that a good journalist tries to answer. And he's from Germany. And my guess, this is just a guess, is that the Michael Turton fella, who's originally from Pennsylvania, sort of Americanizes his stories to make sure that, the sentence structure and the phraseology is more geared towards the United States versus, a German's interpretation of English. I that's just a guess on what their respective roles are on that website. But we've commented before, they do a really good job of, uncovering all kinds of stories, and they do an excellent job of tracking them over time to where sometimes it's several years between the time, in fact, it's usually several years between the time that a story is first broken as far as, hey, you know, the FTC is going after these people, to the resolution. It's normally several years later, and they do a really good job of keeping up with it. Now, I have interfaced with these guys previously in writing, never on the phone or anything, and probably because they're trying to keep their identity under covers, which it's not. It's out there. In fact, I would encourage them to start using their names and start working together versus all these lone rangers out there, all these people that complain about MLMs. My biggest pet peeve is they don't work together. They're all doing their own thing, and they don't work together. Whereas the MLM companies, you know, they have the DSA, and the DSA is in the United States, but there's also DSAs around the world. You know, there's a world organization. There's DSAs in different countries, and so all the MLMs are working together. And all of the, you know, the pro MLM, I'll call them coaches. You know, there's this industry of coaches out there that are pro MLM. Most of them are former failed MLMers that figured out, hey, the real money's in the coaching, right? The tools, not the MLM itself. And they work together. They get along. They, you know, have conversations. They get together at conferences, and they coordinate and all those kinds of things. And so those two large factions on the pro MLM side do cooperate and coordinate and, you know, come together to have more power. But the people that are against MLMs, and again, just to make it clear, I'm not against MLMs. I'm against MLMs when they have tool scams and or lack of retail sales. But I'm for MLMs if they don't have tool scams and they do have retail sales. That's where I come down on things. So, you know, if that means you can't work with me, if you're an anti-MLM hun, then so be it, because I'm not going to change, you know, my thinking just because you're this basket case of emotion. You know, when you make your videos, your eyes are rolling around in your head and your arms are waving in the air and you're snarling and, you know, you're drooling out the side of your mouth and just going crazy. That doesn't cut it for me. It's got to have facts and logic to it. And so, you know, you can even put a Batman costume on. It's not going to do much for me. it just doesn't do anything. So anyway, you know, I would encourage Klaus and Michael to, you know, come out of the closet, so to speak, and start coordinating, just like we've been trying to get with Troy Dooley recently. You know, Troy made a video with, I don't know, four or five other guys, Kevin Thompson and who else was it? It was
Tom Chenault.
Yeah, Tom Chenault.
Ryan Chamberlain.
There's a Florida representative. I think it's a state representative, right? Not a United States representative, I think.
Yeah, that was Ryan Chamberlain.
Yeah, but he's not. He's a Florida state representative, right? He's not a. He's not a
yeah,
U.S.
Yeah, he's not
representative.
Like a senator. Yeah, he's
right.
A,
right. Yeah.
Not to minimize
the support. There was one or two other guys, but anyway, these are all sort of these you know, flaky pro MLM guys, and Tom Chenault made the comment that, hey, we need to work together. And so I had contacted Tom, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. And we had a conversation on the phone, and I said, hey, I'd like to be on your show. He said, well, I think you're too controversial. So be it. Right. So we've been talking to Troy now for, like, what has it been, 2 weeks, going back and forth on emails, trying to find a time that, that he can, you know, either just talk on the phone or be on the show. And he's just doing this cat and mouse thing, right? And we don't know how it's going to turn out. But, you know, if you really want to work together, then you ought to work together. You shouldn't be dodging and, you know, making excuses and all of that. You should say, hey, I can talk at this time, and let's do it. But he's playing the games is what he's doing right now. I don't know if he's going to come around or not, but we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, that's been, you know, one of my really big pet peeves ever since 2005 when I found out about the tool scam is people just don't work together. They do their own thing, and they're not going to be nearly as influential as the other sides that are working together. And I guess they just don't get it. Or they just – and a lot of it, when we found this out, you know, we had Julie Anderson on our show a month or so ago, and her pet peeve, and I suspected this amongst a lot of the anti-MLM huns, but she really vocalized it. She said, hey, I got burned once by an MLM. I don't want to work with anybody else ever again because I might get burned again, you know, which is kind of childish behavior in my opinion. But that's where she is, and that's, I think, where a lot of the anti-MLM huns are. They were burned once, and that's it. They're not going to work with anybody. They're just going to do their thing. And therefore, they will not be more powerful. They will not be more influential. They will not be more successful in achieving whatever they want to achieve as far as, you know, MLM scams. So I'll stop there, let you make some more comments about our friend Klaus and Michael. By the way, one more thing. On that website, the MLMreport.com, it talks about their perspective of Klaus and Michael is that they're making up a bunch of stuff, and they're basically threatening companies, and when companies try to approach them, they try to get money from them. And unfortunately, I haven't seen any evidence of that as far as, you know, beyond the claim. You know, I've seen the claim, but I've never seen any evidence where an actual company provided something in writing that said, yeah, this Klaus and Michael tried to, you know, basically extort us. At this point, it's just a claim. And since there's no documentation, I don't put much emphasis on the claim. And I must say that Klaus and Michael have had a lot of really good stories that have turned out in their favor. You know, as far as the FTC and the SEC and the DOJ. And so I tend not to believe that other website. But again, I'm open-minded. You know, it would be interesting to know exactly what these guys do behind MLM, so to speak. They, you know, because they make their money somehow. Klaus is a freelance journalist. I don't know how much money he makes doing that. I don't know if Michael Turton does anything else. But, you know, you have to pay the bills. So it could be true. Maybe it's not true. And I guess time will tell. But it does raise some interesting questions about behind MLM. So, Peter, I'll give it back to you for more comments.
Sure. So behind MLM, here's my opinion about behind MLM. So they are always in front of the industry as far as the regulators are concerned. They'll comment about companies years before the regulators even take a look at it. So in that regard, if there's a scam, they'll be highlighting the scamminess to it or the illegalities or the flaws or whatever, or the background behind the owners quicker than anybody else on the internet. So in that regard, they provide a certain service. So that's on the plus side. On the minus side is, for them, everything about MLM is a scam. And everybody that is an MLM is a scam for the most part. And, you know, I've had things said about me on behind MLM that are obviously not true. When I say obviously, I mean I know me, so they're not true. And some of the stuff related to some of the companies that I know inside things about are not true. So what they'll do is they'll take a company like Zeek Rewards, Success by Health, or some other companies like that, and they'll immediately start blasting them as if they were a scam without really doing real due diligence about knowing what's going on with the company. So they'll comment about issues related to banking, conversations about the people themselves, what's going on with them, the actions that are taken, because they might read things that are posted by, you know, the FTC, the SEC, or whoever else might be writing up some stuff. So they're very opinionated, and sometimes their opinions are wrong. So that means that when you're reading behind MLM, you know, some people might say, well, Peter, if they said something bad about you, of course you're going to be negative about them. Well, I mean, if they wrote something bad about me that was real about me, I would own it. But if they're writing stuff that's false about me, then I think that's a different issue. So, you know, so I still can read behind MLM, knowing that they might say things about some companies that I know a lot more about. But overall, they have provided a service, and you just have to really watch what you're watching for. And, Scott, we've used them for referencing for years because they are probably the leader of exposing information that needs to be discussed in the MLM or the home-based business world. Now, having said that, what do I think about what they're going through right now? I'd say mixed feelings, but if you're going to be attacking MLMs, you're going to get attacked. And if you're going to attack the baddest people in the industry, they're going to come after you pretty hard. And you might not have the pocketbook to be able to defend yourself, or maybe the intestinal fortitude to be able to defend yourself, or maybe the personal bodyguards to be able to defend yourself in some of these issues. But this is the environment that you happen to find yourself in. So do I wish bad things to happen to them personally or physically? No. Am I a little bit glad that financially they're probably going to take a hit one way or another because they're going to have to defend themselves, and they're going to realize that maybe they need to find another thing to be looking for? Will I be lost without them as far as the research? No, we can do plenty of research. It's not, you know, take Google alerts. We have plenty of ways to do more research. They just made it a little bit easier in some instances. So mixed feelings relative to the behind MLM dilemma. However, it is a great learning lesson, because all it takes is probably one more company to sue GoDaddy under any pretense and say that behind MLM is, you know, has some fake information, fraudulent information, whatever kind of information, and they will lose their domain name. I'm predicting that they are on very, 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 very thin ice. And unless they can get the money to handle this appeal to the Supreme Court or whatever it was over in New York, they might lose their domain name. So if they go dark one day, you might only be able to find behind MLM on the archives of the Internet. So that's all I have to say about that. And for those people like the anti-MLMers that talk trash about being sued, you're learning how to pull up your big boy panties, even though you might be in your Batman underwear. The reality is that you're learning that there's repercussions to your actions, and maybe you need another profession, and maybe traveling across North America might be one of your options, as you're homeless. It's a little bit, the rent is a little bit less expensive, and you can probably go to like California, where you can like steal things for less than $1,000 and not have to worry about going to jail, which is probably right in line with what you used to doing anyway. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, it fits right in with the habits, right?
<That's> so,
yeah, be perfect. Now, that assumes that this particular person can get into the United States. He almost didn't earlier this year. And maybe the Customs and Border Patrol are rethinking letting him in. I would certainly encourage them to rethink that. Time will tell. Time will tell.
I don't know how that might happen.
I cannot imagine. So the story that really got this behind MLM owner to come out with, this disclosure that he's being physically threatened, basically, or he believes he is, it's another November 2nd, 2023 story on BehindMLM.com, and the title is GS Partners and Joseph Height Under Federal Investigation in the United States. So, again, he's bringing heat on the bad guys, and the bad guys are saying, hey, we really, watch your step. So that's, again, when you start talking about bad people, Bad people do bad things because they're bad people. You know, it's like the old story of the scorpion and frog, right? The scorpion asked the frog, can you get me across this little body of water? And the frog said, I don't know if I trust you. You know, you might sting me with your stinger, Mr. Scorpion. And the scorpion said, oh, no, I'm going to depend on you to get me across the water. So, you know, everything will be fine. And so the frog decided to let the scorpion ride on his back, and he took him across the water. And when they got to the other side, the scorpion stung him, killed the frog. And the frog said right before he died, how could you do that? I took you across the water. And the scorpion said, I can't help it. I'm a scorpion. Right? I mean, that's what I am. So, you know, if you complain about bad guys to the extent that Behind MLM does, then the scorpions are going to get you. That's just life. You know, people have to realize they live in the real world, not some fantasy world where you can get dressed up in a Batman costume and everything's going to be great. It's not reality. It's not reality. So anyway, that's the story that really touched this thing off. And this is not the first time that Behind MLM has been threatened, you know, whether it's physically or in court. So he's been through a number of these things over the years. It's nothing new from the standpoint of getting attention. It's just a specific type of attention he's getting and the specific people it's coming from. That's what, you know, got him nervous.
In this instance, I sensed a general concern. Like, he said other things in other situations before, but in this instance, I really did seem like he's got to lay out the evidence, because if the domain name goes dark forever, now at least we have an idea or know why. So he basically seemed a little bit more concerned than usual, and certainly spoke a lot more about stuff behind the scenes that he's ever done before. And I say he, you know, I'm not sure. I was tipped off one time that Oz was a girl, because somebody had sued him and I think had to meet him in court, and I was kind of tipped off that Oz was a girl, and maybe that was a distraction as well. I'm not sure. So I'd say I'm just going to say this for the record. I'm probably 80 or 90% along the line of what you referenced a little bit earlier about who he or they may be, meaning like of the gentleman persuasion. And then there's an outside chance. I'm not sure, but there might be an outside chance that this is still a little bit of a ruse, and maybe the real Oz is a girl. Who knows? But we'll see one way or another. So back to you.
Yeah, you're right. He was referred to as a she in some court document or something. And whether that was a misdirection or, you know, sometimes people talk about people in more generic terms, and sometimes they use the word she, even though it's not directed towards a political man or woman. They just use that word as kind of a placeholder, if you will, and not intending to define the sex of the person, if that makes any sense. It's just more of a generic term. But we don't know. You know, there's pretty good evidence that it really is this guy, Klaus and Michael. But again, you know, when you're hiding your identity, it would make sense to have a misdirection, to have people think that you're Klaus and Michael and you're really some woman. But I have to say that the personality of the Behind MLM, I'll call them guys generally here, could be a woman, but to me it's consistent with a guy, you know, a guy sort of short-tempered, nasty type interaction. If you suck up to him, he's really nice to you. If you say, hey, I think you made a mistake here, he just cuts you down, you know, and that just reminds me of a, you know, kind of a, I don't know what you would call it, a nasty German, you know, just kind of a jerk, you know, from Germany. That whole persona is consistent with him being Klaus. But again, we don't know. You know, maybe it's all an act, and it's a woman behind the scenes, you know.
Yep.
It would be a good act. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I just want to mention, while I was doing some research on this, I found that OneCoin had sued or tried to sue behind MLM many, many times, and could not get anything done because most of the times they just couldn't establish it, that there were any. They didn't provide proof that they weren't a scam, and they also didn't provide proof of damages. So OneCoin, which is definitely a company that had money laundering and corruption from the mob, certainly well noted in even some of the court cases, I believe, that was another one that was after behind MLM as well. So there's been real people that have legitimate gripes against behind MLM that have gone after them, and then there's the real scammers, the OneCoins of the world, that have gone after them as well. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main issue that we have, we don't have an issue with all the stuff that they dig up because they do a really good job of digging it up and tracking it. Where we kind of differ is the analysis of those facts. Like you said earlier, you know, there's no good MLM. There's nothing anybody in any MLM could ever do that's good. And to me, that's just not reality. But if you say that against an anti-MLMer, all of a sudden you're a pro-MLMer. I mean, all they see is black and white. You know, it's just up or down. There's no gray area. There's no middle area. It's got to be one extreme or the other. And if you're not on their extreme, then you must be on the other extreme. That's just how their thinking goes. And unfortunately, it's not going to get them very far as being effective. But, you know, that's what they want to do. So that's what they're going to do. I'll go on here because there are some other interesting stories on BehindMLM.com, and we haven't talked about this a whole lot because we had guests on for a few weeks, and then we had, we've been doing the Niora decision the couple previous weeks, and we still have another week or two to go on that. I mean, that is what we used to call in the military a target-rich environment, or maybe shooting fish in a barrel, you know, just really easy to find problems with the way that the FTC prosecuted Niora, and the judge had her way with them.
We almost forgot the comment section of that article. I was thinking about something. Can't let that go.
I forget. Go ahead.
So, the one thing I'm going to mention is something that has nothing to do with anything, but there was some of the comments in there led us to believe that Oz, we're going to call him Oz, has been kind of communicating with some of the authorities, one of the authorities being the SEC, because a while back there was his allegation that Ash Mufares, who runs the MLM company called On Passive, actually registered a domain name behind mlm.co, which was basically like a mirrored site that was giving behind MLM kind of like some competition. So basically to try to shed some light on Passive positively. And that was brought up even in the lawsuit, I believe, taken against On Passive by the SEC. So it looks like Oz has been kind of busy with some federal regulators as well. And but one of the funny things that I saw in there, and I let you tee it up because you were the one who brought it in, is one of the very first comments on that article came from somebody that we all know and highly disrespect. So go ahead, Scott. You can key that one off.
Okay. Yeah, this was just one of those joys of life, right? You're going through this article and Oz is being, threatened. He's going through all these details, you know, kind of laying it all on the line because he's basically saying, look, if something happens to me, I want this information to be out there. You know, if my website goes away or if I go away, I want this information to be out there for people to see. So he went into some more behind the scenes type stuff than he normally does. So, yes, he got an early comment from a Mr. Bill Keep, the professor in New Jersey College or something. He's a marketing retail expert, quote unquote expert.
I think he's read a couple articles on marketing.
Yeah, I think so. So he's actually organized. He's organized for the past 3 years there's a website called MLMconference.com, and it's actually an anti-MLM conference, but the website is MLMconference.com. They've done it for 3 years, and he's organized it every year of those 3 years, and hosted it, basically, the College of New Jersey, I think it is. And actually, I was going through some old, I think it was Facebook, back and forth, and I just happened to come across this exchange I had with Bill Keep back in 2013. I said, you really should, organize a conference. You have the college behind you, and, you could really get something going here. Again, people working together. He said, oh, I'm too busy, way too busy. So, but now he's done it for the past 3 years. So good for him. The problem is that he brings in people who aren't really experts, such as himself. You know, when Jeffrey Babner had his way with Bill Keep in a trial many years ago, it just demonstrated how little Bill really knows about MLM. And then he brings in one of his other, favorite people, Stacey Bosley, who got totally trounced in the Niora case. And we understand from people that have talked to you, the information isn't out there yet. Hopefully it will be soon. The Success by Health, also when she was giving her FTC testimony, that they had their way with her too. She just floundered in both of those cases. And I've tried to get both of them on this show in the past, and they just blow me off and, they're smarter than me and all this kind of stuff. I'm not worth their time and so on and so forth. So let me just read you some of Bill's comment here to Oz. He says, thank you for this lengthy explanation. I am not surprised by the aggression, particularly getting the courts involved against you. As you may know, multiple MLMs have done the same against Always Marco. His work is not as extensive as yours, and he is at this, he's been at this only a few years, but he did some pointed work regarding at least three MLMs. Now, to frame any kind of a similarity with what Oz is doing with, like legitimate mafia people versus what the other guy is doing with just MLMs and thinking that MLMs are, putting, in his words, paid assassins to get him is ludicrous, because these MLMs, they don't want any physical harm to Marco. They just want his money. All right. They want to make him destitute. They want to control him. They want to prevent him from saying false things about them, even though they might be total scams. Marco can't behave himself. He has to find good information, and then he has to go beyond that and get himself in trouble. That's just being always stupid. And so to try to draw any kind of similarity between what Oz is doing and what the other guy is doing is just ludicrous. But that's Bill Keep,
it's
right?
That was insulting. That was insulting. that was insulting. It's kind of like, I should have told him to go fuck off. Like, what the fuck are you comparing me to, that little dweeb? Like, what the fuck? He did, like, his level of comparison is compared to me. He should have. But it gets better.
Well,
go ahead, Bill Keep.
To Oz's credit, he said, I never heard of the guy. So. So, there you go. But then, he goes on. Bill goes on. This is his comment to Oz. He says, second, not that this would necessarily help, but if you need someone to provide additional testimony or a declaration about the potential harm caused in some situations, I can maybe provide that. So he has all these, maybe kind of type language, this professorial, this very undefinitive, wishy-washy type stuff. And he goes on, he says, as you probably know, Of course he knows. Come on now, Bill. As you probably know, I assisted the FTC with Bitcoin funding team and the DOJ with Maki and IE2G. Finally, I tried to give a one-time contribution through Google pop-up, and it would not process it. Best of luck and be careful, Bill Keep. So anyway, that's a new thing on BehindMLM.com's website is the ability to give him money. And apparently this was pushed towards him from Google. And I think with all of his, you know, challenges going on, he said, yeah, this is probably a good time to accept a few bucks if you want to throw it in my direction. He's not out there, you know, begging, you know, he's not out there going, you know, you got to give me the bag. Give me the bag constantly. He rarely mentions it like some of the other anti-MLM huns. They're just always, give me the bag, give me the bag. That's all they do all the whole show. Either give me the bag or thumbs up the thing, right, which is thumbs up the thing or thumbs up the show so he can get, you know, his ego inflated even more than it is, which is hard to imagine. But anyway, that was Bill Keep's, comment.
The funny thing is, The unfair thing to say is that Bill Keep tried to donate. You know, here he is. He found somebody that's been working for 14 friggin' years who's fighting and battling to make sure he can keep his business up and running. I'm talking about Behind MLM. You know, the guy's on the brink, if you will, of probably needing some real financial help. And Bill Keep, you know, the guy who's going to donate $50 one time, has his credit card declined.
Yeah, and he's a business professor, right? Yeah.
He's a business professor, tries to donate $50, it's declined. Sorry, I tried to do it, it wouldn't work. Just classic.
Yeah, it just made my day, you know, seeing those comments back and forth between Oz and Bill Keep. And I'm gonna be sending some additional information to Oz too about both Bill Keep and the other guy.
Always stupid.
just so Oz knows who he really is, because I think everyone deserves to know who you're really dealing with, right? Not who they want you to think you are, but who they really are. That's really important, because especially in today's day and age, you know, you can put on a false presence, but what you can't do is erase the internet. Now you can erase the internet, but if someone made a copy of something before you erased it, then you didn't really erase it. It just makes you look even worse, because not only did you make it, but then you tried to take it down, which, you know, so you were a bad person maybe to make the original one, but then you're even worse to take it down. And then on top of that, you lie about what you did. You know, you pretend like you never did it. And you might even talk to, you know, people like Customs and Border Patrol and lie about what you did over the years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just lie by omission, just like a tool scam artist. And so, you know, you really can't hide from the truth. If people are, you know, watching you and keeping up with your activities and making sure that even if you erase something, it's not gone. It's still around. So anyway, was that mostly what you wanted to cover with this story?
It was mostly what I wanted to cover, yes. Yeah, and I think also if you're going to be making quotes about what's rolling on in your head while you're playing around with deadly weapons, it's probably not advisable to be doing that publicly on a YouTube channel. Like stating your mental illnesses publicly on a mental channel, YouTube channel, rather, probably isn't something you should be doing while you're wearing a Batman costume. Oh my
God! You should do it if you're always stupid, though, right?
That's if you're always stupid. Yeah, I'm sure this is going to be archived lots of places, and probably.
If you're always stupid, then that's that. Yeah, if you're always
that's
stupid, that's automatic. Yeah.
It's just what you do.
Yeah. You're just like the you know, the frog in the whatchamacallit, what did I say it was?
The scorpion.
Yeah. So yep, you gotta be true to yourself. All right. Well, thanks for remembering that, Peter. I completely forgot about it, but that was the best part of that article by far.
That's true. That is so
by
true.
Far. So there's a few other stories in here that have been going on. There's one dated November 4th, 2023, and it's this character, Christian Kurstic. It's got a lot of the consonants in sequence there that I don't understand how to pronounce. But anyway, this guy was arrested in Georgia. That's the country of Georgia, you know, over in the Russia area. But he was extradited to the United States recently. So he was actually arrested back in February. And this is involving Bitcoin with two I's, Bitcoin with two I's. Two eyes in that coin word. So that's a good story too. Looks like this guy's going to be in a lot of trouble. There's already been, I think, three or four people with that company that have been found guilty and sentenced to anywhere 2 to 4 years in prison. And I think he's kind of the ringleader, so I would expect him to get even more eventually. So that's a good story. I'd love to cover stories where these people get arrested and sentenced and all that stuff, because it does send a message. It's not a strong enough message because people keep doing it, but at least it's a step in the right direction. Anything more on that one?
Nope, but that was a good conclusion to a really crappy cryptocurrency thing.
Yeah, that was a bad one, and there's a bunch of bad ones out there. A lot of people, you know, running around, changing companies. They open and close companies before the regulators even are aware of it, you know, and they move on to something else. So it really is a shame that there's not more activity, because there's actually a pretty small number of people that are doing this. They just go from one company to the next and you know, create new companies, and there'd be a lot less news if there was a little bit more, you know, law enforcement going on. But that's the world we live in again, so there you go. And by the way, we've said this before, we don't cover all the stories in BehindMLM.com. There's a bunch of stories in here that we don't cover, mainly because they're pretty much similar. Most of them are crypto MLM scams, and it's just different names of companies, different names of people, but it's the same old story over and over again. In fact, there's a couple stories further down here. Let me see if I can go down there. And this one kind of tickled me because he had here's an interesting one too. This is November 3rd, 2023. The headline is MTI liquidators file clawbacks against Clinton, that's C-L-Y-N-T-O-N, and Sherry Marks. So these people apparently ran this company called Mirror Trading International, and they were basically shut down and they're being liquidated. The problem is the liquidators are going after the money, but the law enforcement hasn't done much about it. And so the liquidators don't have very much authority and they're not having a whole lot of success. But they are trying to do clawbacks and this kind of thing. And it looks like, you know, these people are having an uncomfortable life, which is a good thing in my mind. It's just interesting, you know, how the liquidators are out in front of the law enforcement, so they can't get a whole lot done. Anything more on that one?
Nope. We've seen their name a lot, but I've never really followed them. A lot of these things, there's so much of a scam right up front. I mean, it's not even worth paying attention to.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Mirror Trading International stories on Behind MLM, you know, and that's one of the nice things about this website too, is you can go up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a box you can do a search. So you could put in Mirror Trading there, and all the stories on that company will pop up, and you can really, you know, see over the years all the different things that have occurred with that company, or you can put a person's name. You know, some of these people have been involved in, you know, just several MLM scams over the years, and you can track them through doing a name search. Now, this is a guy I never heard of, but I'll mention his name because he was arrested. Again, November 3rd, 2023, the title is Prolific MLM Scammer Anthony Norman Arrested in Sweden. So, good for Sweden. That's a good thing. So further down, let's see, I'm kind of scrolling down. Oh, there, here's another one. This is one of our favorite MLM scams over the years, Traffic Monsoon. It was November 1st, 2023, when the story was written. And the title is Vincent Boten Settles Traffic Monsoon Fraud for Undisclosed Sum. I think the undisclosed sum was probably about $1 because apparently this guy said, I'm broke. And they pretty much dropped the case. You know, they settled for some kind of monetary damages. They didn't say how much it was, but it sounds like this guy was broke. They didn't get anything, but they're not going to get anything. And so they just kind of dropped the whole case because there wasn't a whole lot to do that would be productive. So, but it's good to see another, Traffic Monsoon. And apparently he was pretty high in the food chain with that company too. So, you know, that was good to see. Anything more on that one?
Nope. But, I mean, Traffic Monsoon, I mean, we've been talking about them since, I guess, probably when we first got started, more or less. So, I mean, this is something that's taken 8-10 years to kind of percolate its way through. So
yeah, and that's not atypical. That's kind of usual.
It's a while.
Anywhere 5 to 10 years, that's the lifespan of these prosecutions. So here's another one that we've talked about, this company before, not so much this individual, but it's October 31st, 2023. Jacques Pujade, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, sentenced to 5 years in prison for fraud. So this guy was with this company called Ringa Life, which was also related to, what was the other name of the company that was caught up in this? I'm trying to remember. I'm kind of going down through the story here too. But the other characters in this was this Jason Cardiff guy and his wife. And they were sued and they wiggled out of it largely because the judge was just so lenient. You know, I think it was at least 5 or 6 times he was told to produce information. He didn't. So they did a time extension and it went on and on and on to the point that the Supreme Court decision we talked about before occurred. And they said, hey, you really can't go after us anymore because of this Supreme Court decision. All you can do is give us a
like a warning letter.
Yeah, it's a warning letter, basically, an injunction. That's all you can do is an injunction. And the way that the Section 13B is written is it's if you are currently doing something or you are about to do something that's illegal. If you used to do something that was illegal, you can't use 13B. It's forward. It's present and forward-looking. And that's why this guy wiggled out of it. That's why Niora wiggled out of it. It was because the FTC was trying to misuse that law again. And because of that Supreme Court decision, now they had a whole lot less leverage. So this guy.
And I remember that Cardiff guy, when COVID happened, he turned some of his manufacturing facilities into PPE stuff. So they basically said, well, if you can turn a business around and make it profitable and then pay off some of the money that you owe, we'll let you do that. So he kind of got a whole bunch of nine lives, if you will, between COVID extensions and this type of thing and everything he threw in front of, all the hurdles he was able to throw in front of it. It finally didn't work anymore. But this other gentleman that you're referencing right now got caught up in that whole scam or scheme as well.
Yeah, he got 63 months, he was defrauding investors out of $6.2 million. So that's what he got for his efforts. But, yeah, he was in that same universe as Cardiff. So let's see. Where are we at here? We're down to these series of stories. I don't really mean to cover the story. It's just the title of the story, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. So there's a story here, and I'll just name the titles. the headline, Rainbow Fund Review, Staking Ruse Ponzi Scheme. The next story down, or I guess two stories down, Lucky Ape Review, AI Trading Bot Ruse Ponzi. Have you noticed the pattern of Ruse yet? The next story down, Arbitrage King Review, AI Crypto Trading Ruse Ponzi. He did three stories in a row where he used four. The next one down is Shao Bank Review, Fake Bank Bonds Ruse Ponzi. So there's four stories almost in a row where one of the words in the title is Ruse. So I don't know. I don't know how he got in. Oh, that was five. Excuse me. Here's the next one. Trade Like Crazy Review, AI Trading Bot Ruse Ponzi. He's on this Ruse Ponzi kick. That's it for the Ruse. But anyway, there was five of them. I forgot how many there were. Let's see. Here's another, I think, interesting story. We'll see if it goes anywhere. It's an October 28th, 2023 story. The title is Victim Group Calls for, quote, urgent action against QNet in India. And who knows where it's going to go. QNet has been all over the place for a lot of years, and it doesn't seem like it's a legitimate business to me. And it, especially like in Africa, they literally kidnap people and they put them in a room and they say, if you don't go out and recruit some people, you're never going to get out of here. We're going to harm your family. I mean, it's kidnapping and extortion, and it's an MLM, but the way that they recruit is to literally kidnap and threaten people. And unless they can get other people involved, then bad things happen to them. It's just crazy stuff. But it's true. You know, I've seen, not just on Behind MLM, but newspaper stories from Africa and so forth, crazy stuff. Anything more on that whole thing? I'll move on if you don't. Here,
there's
another story here.
Believe it or not, we're already over time.
Oh, we're over time. We better quit.
Yeah.
I don't want to overstay my welcome here. Yeah, that went fast. That's crazy. That's crazy because there are a couple more good ones here, but let's wait till next week. And I just appreciate you doing this show for over 8 years on a weekly basis. It's been great, and we'll continue to do it, as long as we can, I guess.
Yep. So give them your website one more time so people can take a look at all the cool things you've done on your end.
Yeah, I got three websites. I've got a YouTube channel. I've got the link to this show in my email, and it's at facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, ScottTexJohnson, all one word. And Peter, happy fall back day. We get an extra hour this weekend. So,
oh, wow.
So that's at 2 a.m. tonight. I don't know who wakes up at 2 a.m. to turn their clock back, but when you wake up in the morning, it'll be an hour earlier than it would have been otherwise.
Yeah, and it's darker earlier. That sucks. This is this part. I hate it when it's darker earlier. I like it when it's lighter later. But welcome to the world.
Yeah,
so we're going
to
catch everybody.
Wish they went to year-round daylight savings.
Yeah,
but
or
Congress can't do anything.
Yeah, I couldn't care if they push it back another way. But anyway, so we're done. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And if you go back to buildingforgeradio.com/Scott-Johnson, you'll be able to hear this radio show and the previous ones that we've done as well. And, Scott, I'm going to say thanks for listening in, and we'll catch everybody next week. We'll be back at 8:30, so we're not going to move the calendar around or the time zones around or anything else like that. We'll keep it 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central Time. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks, Scott.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.